Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. War, it seems, is never far away, and that's just on our plane of existence. But beyond what our senses can discern is a greater war, a cosmic conflict of the ages, being fought by Satan and his legions against the purposes and plans of God. Today, we lift the veil on the invisible war. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a series on the invisible war taken from the book of Ephesians. Listen now as Pastor Lutzer speaks on the cosmic conflict.
100 million Americans are coming to the conclusion that there is indeed a spiritual realm to the universe. The problem is that many of them simply assume that the spiritual realm is always a friendly place, and that if you open up your life and you connect with this spiritual realm, it will always do you good. What we shall see today is that the spiritual realm is actually a friendly place, but an also a very evil place. It is both. The scripture says that when we are saved, we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. The kingdom of darkness is characterized by lies, 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 lies. In Bunyan's book entitled The Holy War, he said that that would be the strategy he discusses in there in an imaginary way, the way in which the demons are talking and they say lies, 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 lies. The kingdom of light is a kingdom of truth and righteousness and holiness and absolute purity. And we're translated from one to the other, but we struggle because we still are in both. When I speak of the spiritual realm, a couple of comments. First of all, keep in mind that just because it is unseen, that doesn't mean that it is unreal. Demons, angels, the body of Jesus Christ that was raised from the dead and taken to heaven, that body exists somewhere, and you and I can't see it, but it is real. Let's not think that only that which we see has reality. There's a story in the Old Testament of Elijah. He was, you remember, there sitting at a tell, or a city, I should say, a Dothan. And his servant is very afraid because there are some people coming against him. And Elijah says, "Oh Lord, open up his eyes that he may see." And the servant's eyes are open to the spirit world, and he saw around the horizon all kinds of beings that were coming to rescue them. Those were angels. And if you and I could see, if we could see in our homes, in our churches, in our office buildings, if our eyes were open to the spirit world in a physical sense, we would be shocked at the amount of buzz that takes place there. Also, we need to keep in mind that this particular battle that we're going to talk about takes place indeed in the atmosphere. But the atmosphere is huge. We're not sure exactly where all of this resides, but there is God in the atmosphere and beyond the atmosphere in the whole universe, and Satan and God still interact, and you and I are a part of that interaction. That's what happens, you see, when the physical world encounters the spiritual world, when the world of light encounters the kingdom of darkness. Take, for example, the 19th chapter of Acts. Would you turn there for a moment, please? Acts chapter 19. Here we have a remarkable story of the kingdom of light encountering the kingdom of darkness. And it alone would be worth a message, but I'm going to only use it to introduce another passage that we'll get to in a moment. In Acts chapter 19, Paul is in Ephesus, and he enters into the synagogue, and for 3 months he speaks and he reasons. He actually spent a couple of years there in total. But it says in verse 11, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had been touched by his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And no wonder the next verse says, and fear came upon all, and this was known. I would think so. Here there were men who said, oh, you know, Paul is casting out demons in the name of Jesus. We'll use the name of Jesus too. And they had no authority over that demon whatever. Why? Because the name of Jesus isn't just a name. It's not a magical formula. You can't exercise the authority of Jesus unless you are under the authority of Jesus. Only those who are under authority can exercise authority. And they thought, we've got the formula here that'll work. Just use the name of Jesus and people will be delivered. What a surprise they had. By the way, sometimes those who are demon-possessed have tremendous, tremendous human power. Sometimes the police takes a number of officers just to subdue a small person if he's demon-possessed. And here you have an instance in which there was no deliverance. But under Paul there was. Under Paul there were the miracles. Here we have, you see, the clash of the two kingdoms that I'm talking about. You have the kingdom of darkness. You also have the kingdom of light. And you and I, in one way or another, are all involved in what I'm calling the cosmic conflict. Now, what I'd like to do is to ask you now to turn, if you would please, to the book of Ephesians. This is a letter that Paul wrote to that church, the church in Ephesus, that church that I just read about a moment ago. And by the way, it says after that, people took all of their magical arts and all of the kinds of gadgets that they had to contact the occult world, and they burned them. As a matter of fact, I think it says, if I may look at the text here, also many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. A number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and to prevail mightily. Wow. You see, all of the magic that they had used to contact the spirit world, all of that kind of stuff, and it'd be interesting to know how much they had in those days, must have had a whole pile of it, and they burned it all. A number of years ago, there was a great movement of the Holy Spirit in our college campuses. I don't know if you remember that or not, but one of the things that they did during chapel services is that they brought in garbage bags, and the students brought all of their pornography, all of their occultic, demonic music, and they all threw it in these garbage bags that were later on disposed of. It is amazing what happens when God cleans house and when the kingdom of light reaches the kingdom of darkness. I'm hoping that that will still happen in our generation, even among us. What I'd like to do now is to take a peek into this spirit world. And we're going to see that indeed it is a very friendly place. It's a place where you and I are blessed, but it's also a place where you and I experience huge conflict. Are you ready for the journey? In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, now writing to this church that experienced such a great awakening, he writes one of the most blessed letters in all the New Testament. Today, what I want us to do is to simply zero in on one phrase that he uses, and this phrase, as it is translated a phrase in the English, occurs five times. It's the phrase, heavenly places. Heavenly places. I've introduced the realm now. It's the unseen realm. It's the realm of the spirit world where angels, Satan, and God all exist together. What's happening up there? Well, look at the text. Ephesians chapter 1. And if you're in the habit of underlining your Bibles, now is the time to underline that phrase as it occurs here five times in the book of Ephesians. And then we'll see how this relates to the cosmic conflict in which you are involved, even if you think that you're AWOL. You're in it. Notice it says, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." There's the phrase, heavenly places, "even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestinated us." You know that this is one of the most theologically deep passages of Scripture in all the Bible, and we cannot do it justice except to revel in it. It's like swimming in a deep swimming pool, and all that you can do is to enjoy it. I'm talking now to believers, as Paul is to the saints which are at Ephesus, and he says, first of all, in the heavenly places, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Notice that. What are the blessings? Well, that we were chosen before the foundation of the world in Christ. Jesus called your name before God said, "Let there be light." Before the universe was created, God knew you and chose you. That's what the text tells us. As we go on, we discover we've been adopted into God's family. We've been blessed in other ways with the Holy Spirit, and on and on. And he says we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And we have been blessed. It is a done deal. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you automatically receive about 20 different blessings that I should list for you sometime. And it is yours in Christ. It is finished. It comes with a package called Jesus Christ. We are so blessed, aren't we? And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if he is not yours personally, would you repent and turn to him right now? He's the only one who can forgive you, can receive you. And as I mentioned in the message, there are so many blessings involved when he becomes ours. For a gift of any amount, we are making available to you a book I've written entitled, "Who Are You to Judge? Learning to Distinguish Between Truths, Half-Truths, and Lies." I don't need to tell you that we live in a very confused world. Even the evangelical church oftentimes imbibes false doctrine. How do we discern those kinds of issues? What about entertainment? What about neo-paganism and false teachers? These are the kinds of issues I deal with in the book entitled, "Who Are You to Judge? Learning to Distinguish Between Truths, Half-Truths, and Lies." I believe it'll be a tremendous blessing and give you insight in this world.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer, beginning a message on the cosmic conflict, the first of 7 messages in a series on the invisible war. Next time, tune in for more on the provisions God has made for ultimate victory in this ongoing battle. More than ever before, believers need discernment to be able to distinguish between truths, half-truths, and lies. That's the focus of Pastor Lutzer's book, "Who Are You to Judge?" A copy is waiting for you as our gift when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about "Who Are You to Judge?" Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.